I'm sorry.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 15, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
For January 23rd, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka Jackajawea. And that is courtesy of a dog called Norman, aka Norman Luco. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
All the leaves are brown, and the Miles is gray, and the Miles is gray. Thank you, Mike Booch, for that, aka Fire My Man. And shout outs to Brianna Vowles out there, probably listening on her commute. I see you out there, and God loves you.
Yeah, that's going to be the tone of the podcast from now on.
Yeah, it's all about Christ's love, baby.
Little guy I know who, I couldn't finish that
sentence. Well,
big shout out, to the little guy up in the sky.
Little guy by the name of JC, who had a little story to tell. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very funny comedian, Brody Reed.
Hi, guys. It's me. I'm Brody Reed. I don't have a song. I'm just here being genuine. I'm a nice boy. I'm very funny.
Thank you. Are. You look very nice. May I ask you, Brody?
Yeah.
Have you accepted Christ as your Savior?
You know, I knew this was a family-friendly podcast.
Yes, it is.
So I came on here. I just wanted to say I absolutely love the guy.
Love his work.
All right.
Love your work, JC.
Love your work, buddy.
Brody, what is something that you have searched in the not-too-distant past that is revealing about who you are?
I'm going to come right out of the bat. Jackie Chan blooper reels.
Hell yeah. Yes.
Whip myself into a good mood every once in a while. Just look at those classic Jackie Chan blooper reels. He works hard. You know, you get that he's doing stunts with like broken limbs and stuff.
Yeah.
Really gives me motivation for my day. He's my man crush Monday every Monday.
Yeah. If he can break his hand, it's so funny. Like that was the best thing about those movies is at the end, you knew you were going to see all the bloopers from the stunts gone wrong.
Yeah.
And I think sadly, I think my first introduction to Jackie Chan was Rumble in the Bronx, which was like the crossover movie. They're like,
that's
Americans have not heard of Jackie Chan until now. And I was like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah.
That's a great blooper reel. That's the one where he breaks his foot and he has to have like a plastic sneaker put over his cast.
So you're like an expert in Jackie Chan blooper
reel. I wouldn't say an expert.
Connoisseur.
Yes, I would say I'm a Chan connoisseur.
Yes.
I'm a blooper connoisseur.
Nice.
Yeah. A Chano. Chan Head. My favorite part of Thomas Lennon's book, Writing Movies for Fun and Profit, is his meeting with Jackie Chan, where he like walks in an all white suit with like three women with him in all white suits and like does like weird shit with like a soup bowl and like,
oh really?
He's like
Tom Lennon or Jackie Chan?
Tom Lennon, believe it or not, yeah. And like does like all this like crazy shit. Like he like takes Thomas Lennon's coat off in like three moves. And Thomas Lennon like doesn't even realize it's off him. He's just like, what fuck? So like apparently Jackie Chan is just real deal. Like,
wait, what were they meeting
level,
for?
For just like a movie of some sort. You know, Thomas Lennon like writes
tons
and tons of movies.
I like that Jackie Chan comes in, flexes on him, like spins a bowl, takes his jacket off one go. I'm like,
God.
It's a hard pass, G.
Right.
Walks out.
Right. Yeah.
Coatless, confused.
Right. Sounds like Jackie Chan should have been a Vine star at some point.
Right.
See? I mean, he definitely would have had a good run.
Yeah,
on Vine.
He sure would have.
Brody, what's something that's overrated?
Something that's overrated is weed being legal now. Weed is over, in my opinion. It's over. My mom smokes weed now. I mean, it's kind of cool. I've been waiting for it literally my whole life, but like, I'm kind of sad about it because a lot of my local weed dealers, you know, they're going out of business, but at the same time, they're having going out of business sales, which is pretty cool for me. I recently got a pillowcase of weed, like at a AK-47, literally a huge pillowcase for like basically free. I traded him some like PS2 games. He was just getting rid of it.
PS2.
Just like, this is useless.
He's
now.
Like, damn, I love Need for Speed Underground. So you're just over the fervor about it being legal.
I'm over the fervor of it, and now it's going to be more expensive. Like, they're going to start selling it at Walmart in like a couple years or whatever. Like, it's just a thing. It's just got like a whole different entity.
Well, now. That's the whole battle now. I remember just even with the legalization debate is like, you know, all the people who were behind the medical marijuana mm-hmm. industry were like, yo, this is not good because it's going to become all corporate as fuck. And right. you're going to be buying Marlboro joints in a 20 yeah. pack.
True.
And yeah, it's definitely a double edged sword too.
You know what is cool is that California decided to pardon like a million convicts of, you know, their records.
You can get it expunged.
Yeah.
But you have to apply for it. I think they're still trying to figure out how to make everyone aware.
For sure.
Because right. I think not many people are aware.
They
people
possible,
are gonna get the word
right?
out.
Yeah. All that. You have to do is go through this process, and depending on like how the degree of, you know, the charge, like clear if it was like criminal possession, they're gonna be like, okay, that's out. But if you were like running a fucking, you know, if you were like Nino Brown of California, that's not gonna work.
Yeah. Anyway, weed's over, shrooms are in, pills are in.
And if any of you guys are out there recruiting for new positions and you are hiring people who have, you know, drug arrests on their resume mm-hmm. and it's marijuana, ignore that shit. Well, yeah, dude. Hire them anyway.
That just tells you they're chill as fuck.
Yeah. It tells you they're chill. They've been chill before you were.
What's something that's underrated?
Something that's underrated? This is maybe Antifa. Can I just get on here? Like, I'm a part of Antifa. And what if I was just like unabridgedly just like,
I mean, I know you're wearing like hockey shin guards and shoulder pads right now. You got a Casey Jones mask on.
That'd be so cool if I was. I just think that they do I don't feel like people talk about like the very small things that they do, just like fixing potholes and stuff. Anyone who fixes potholes in my neighborhood, I'm just like, yeah, dude.
Antifa's fixing potholes in your neighborhood?
Yeah, because they're all about just like taking government in their hands and just like doing small things, like in the same ways that like a lot of grassroots like movement was like Black Panthers did stuff like that back in the 60s. And people don't talk about that kind of stuff enough. We just kind of like demonize them, talk about how they punch Nazis, which is still cool, by the way.
Yeah.
But
ain't nothing wrong with punching a Nazi. No. Although someone on Twitter hit me up because we did an ad read for the Beachbody. And I was like, yeah, you know, when we have to fight Antifa in the streets, we got to be in shape. And they're like, wait, are you against Antifa? Like, no, it's a joke, Ma. It's a joke.
Right.
But shout out to them. I didn't know they were fixed. Wait, where do you live, if you don't mind me asking? Where are they fixing the potholes?
I live in Highland Park.
Okay.
You know, I just...
Yeah, the roads are fucked up.
They're a little bit. They just got on it this week. They took a while.
Antifa, speed it up.
Yeah. Now we're like, fucking Antifa, I'm not going to vote for you.
The roads in L.A. are... like almost cartoonishly bad. Like it's mm-hmm. insane.
Well,
how
yeah,
bad
in
the
certain areas,
are.
Right? Like
yeah.
Santa Monica, they're beautiful. Beverly Hills, they're
yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah. You go to Inglewood, yeah. it's like they forgot there are roads there.
Once
yeah.
you get past like Olympic on Crenshaw,
mm-hmm.
it starts looking a little bit weird.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You call up your, you know, your city government and they're like, oh, what? Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Sorry. I totally meant to get out there. We'll be getting out there.
It's legal.
Oh,
weed,
wait.
See.
That didn't get fixed?
Oh,
are you sure?
Wait. Hold on. Which Tuesday is it? Oh, my bad.
See, because it was crossed off on my list.
We just had this shutdown thing. You know how it is.
See, my supervisors must have lied to me.
All right. Let's get into format. We're trying to take a sample of the global shared consciousness or... the national shared consciousness.
Whoa,
and
so scientific.
We're trying to plug into the global shared consciousness, but talk about usually national news.
Cool.
Is what our audience tells us. We like to open up by asking our guest, what is a myth? What's something that that global or national shared consciousness believes to be true that you know to be false?
Oh, huh. This is interesting. I would say my biggest myth is like readings, like tarot readings, and I know I'm gonna upset a lot of people who are listening to this right now. Anna's making a face. But I just think there's a part of like the human psychology that when people give like when especially when you pay people for like readings of like fortunes and stuff like that, mm-hmm. like people will always read into it in some kind of way. They'll make some kind of like mental loophole. I started doing this thing at shows where I'll like I can give tarot card readings, but with Uno cards. And then like I'll have people like come up to me after and they were just like, wow, that really hit like a lot of things for me. And I was just like, you realize that was a joke, right? Like when I pulled that like reverse card, like that wasn't me trying to like tell you that the universe comes in all kinds of ways. That was me trying to make fun of you.
That's me improvising. Right? Yeah. And I'm quick.
Yeah. No, there's part of the human mind that is built to see patterns, and you know, that comes in handy a lot of the time, but a lot of the time it's very easy to trick.
Has anyone gone to like a palm reader, tarot card reader, and they're like, "Hey, my man, you're gonna be broke as fuck." Like, has anyone ever come out that,
for sure,
with that warning?
Yeah, for sure. I've had people like tell me really like negative things that they heard from like readers. Like, I had a friend tell me that like all of her relationships weren't gonna last this, like, all of 2018. Like, she was only gonna like date fuck boys and stuff.
Wow.
And she was totally into it. She's like, "You know what? I'm gonna take some time for myself this year." I was just like, "Girl, like, trust in yourself."
Yeah.
I mean,
the woman who's running a mind reading business with the neon sign out of her living room. You're gonna trust with that life advice? Okay. Well,
I mean, I think that it does have positive benefits. Like, I'm not trying to like shit on it at all. Like, anything that gets people to think introspectively,
sure,
I think is a good thing. But at the same time, like, when you like talk to those people like outside of those environments, they're just like, "Yeah, I always knew I was right. psychic. I always knew I can just feel energies." And I'm just like, "Shut up,
no,
please.
you fucking arrogant is what you are. I can read your mind."
Yeah,
like, no.
I was also born on a ley line, so I think I have a couple authority on that.
Wait, you were born what?
On a ley line.
What is that?
It's just like a point of energy in the Earth's crust.
Wait, what?
You never heard of ley lines?
No.
Okay, just watch Avatar: The Last Airbender, and then you'll know what they are.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I get all my scientific knowledge from the airbending community. You know, I tried airbending for a little bit.
Yeah, dude.
It did not work out very well for me.
Well, I tried waterbending. Kind of works.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
What is waterbending? Like water?
It's when you splash around in a small bathtub.
In a public pool.
Yeah, public pool. And they say, "Sir, this is a children's pool. You're going to have to leave."
All right. Let's get into format. There are a couple developing stories. There was a school shooting in Kentucky that we don't know a whole lot about. There was a big 7+ magnitude earthquake off the coast of Alaska.
7.9.
Yeah, 7.9. Oof. Which is more than 7, yeah. Mm-hmm. Almost 8,
that's
a lot.
Almost a B.
Yeah, that's a lot, and I think there was a tsunami warning, so.
But it was canceled, luckily.
It was canceled.
Yeah.
All right, so no tsunami, just a big earthquake out at sea. So we want to talk again about the government shutdown. We mentioned it yesterday. We knew that they had reached a deal to end the shutdown. People were talking about it as the Democrats caving. So now that we know exactly what the details are, the deal, we wanted to revisit the shutdown that was. So looking on the bright side, for people who have hearts, I guess, CHIP is funded. So, I mean, that's 9 million vulnerable poor people who now have coverage for healthcare. You know, it's children who can now pay for their healthcare. So that's good. The Democrats are kind of spinning that as like the thing that they won, or at least I've seen it spun that way in a couple places. And I mean, it's important to note that was there on the table. The Republicans had agreed to fund CHIP before the shutdown. The Democrats had said, "No, we want to shut down and hold out for DACA." And then they eventually just went back to, "Okay, yeah, we're good with that thing you offered before." So, yeah, why did they do that? It was like sort of a waffle, right?
Yeah, well, I think clearly it's not like a straight up victory, like a masterstroke of negotiating tactics, because that was always them saying like, "Hey, just let's fund the government and you can get CHIP funded," and the Democrats wanted DACA. But now that that's off the table, they can no longer draw this connection, because that was sort of the messaging from the GOP too, was trying to say the Democrats are choosing these dreamers over American people, like such as vulnerable children who need health insurance. So now that that's off the table, that can have there can be a little bit of a cleaner discussion now when we're talking about DACA and why, if there is another threat of a shutdown, like what those stakes are.
Yeah, I mean, the Republicans were always for funding CHIP, but by withholding funding for CHIP, like whenever they stopped, I think you were saying it was back in October.
Or yeah, September.
They sort of weaponized CHIP so that they had this thing to hang over the Democrats' head and say, this is, you know, what you're saying you don't want to fund in favor of DACA. So it's, you know, it's a, they're playing chess better than the Democrats in that case, the Republicans were. I understand, though, why people are kind of reacting so negatively to the Democrats just immediately caving, because the Democrats have historically not been able to hold the line on anything like populist. Mm-hmm. They just, their immediate instinct is to go centrist. That was the case with like Hillary Clinton going with Hillary over Bernie. I mean, so the Republicans have a populist movement, and they have ever since the Tea Party kind of burst on the scene and started taking advantage of the fact that America's super racist and, you know, wanted a reason to hate Obama. The Democrats, like, don't really have a populist movement. I mean, they're sort of getting one with mm-hmm. this sort of the resistance and this leftward pull. But I just feel like populism is going to be the wave of the next 20 years. Like, as information is freed and more people are more informed and like mm-hmm. understand how unjust the system is, like the Democrats like need their own Tea Party equivalent that talks about economic inequality, because that's like a position that nobody has really staked out as their mm-hmm. own. And it's like probably the biggest problem in America. And it should be a huge advantage. Like, the, you know, Trump talked towards it, but then once he got into office, he specifically, like, you know, yeah. enacted fucking policies that yeah. were completely the exact opposite of it. So it seems like it should be a huge advantage for Democrats, since nobody is filling that role and it has, it would seem to have the truth on its side. But I feel like the Democrats who are in power are sort of continuing to play politics.
Well, yeah. It shows their like meta strategy that has been for a long time of just like, we're going to try to gain momentum by being the rational party, by, you know, finding compromise and stuff like that. But it really just ends up like our government just goes farther to the right when they cave in things like this in smaller and smaller ways.
Well, you can see that, like, clearly the people who voted no, right, on mm-hmm. this CR yesterday, those are the people who are going to be running on that populist message. Like, you right. know, like the Gillibrands, the Elizabeth Warrens, the Kamala Harrises, the Cory Bookers, the Bernie Sanders of the world. They clearly did that because they know that they are going to hang their hat on that vote. And they're also going to be like, look, they know who their base is that they are trying to appeal to with that vote. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, and it seems, and I guess when you see that these are kind of the people who are starting to emerge as likely people to run in 2020, that I think that we will see that message come back. I mean, Elizabeth Warren is, I mean, talking about like economic inequality for forever.
Yeah.
Right.
There's Did Oprah make a statement, by the way?
What? Yeah. What was Oprah's statement? Yeah. What was Monique's statement?
Yeah, there are certainly Democrats who are kind of moving in that populist direction. It just seems like overall, like whoever is in control of the party, like the Schumers and like the just the Democratic Party writ large, tends to always go in the centrist direction.
Well, yeah, because I mean, look, you know, Tom Perez, the head of the DNC, and he is right. not—he is not of this ilk of Democrat. Like, this is, you know, I think it's where there's going to be a generational shift. I think that's where mm-hmm. the next iteration is. That's why there's such a, you know, for all the fracturing and factioning off that's happening in the Republican Party, it's happening in the Democratic Party too, because there's clearly a large group of people who are like, yo, we can go harder. Like, we can do better, and we can fight a little bit harder.
Yeah. It just seems crazy to me that neither party has been like, we are the party that does what's best for the majority of the country, and then like actually does that. Like, that's nobody right. has done that. Like, Trump had the, you know, used some of the talking points to suggest that he would do that, and then did the opposite. But yeah, nobody has been like, hey, we are both not racist and interested in helping the vast majority of the country that is poor, or poorer than the people who are in power. So I don't know. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to talk some Oscar nominees. And we're back. So the Oscar nominees were announced this morning. I was surprisingly happy where they ended up. What did you guys think?
I was too. I really just wanted Get Out to get nominated for everything that I feel like it deserved to get nominated for, and I feel like it did. So I'm actually pretty happy. That's the only thing I was super pulling for this
year. Yeah.
That and I was hoping the creature from The Shape of Water would get nominated.
I was hoping that was a big snub. Butt would get nominated.
Yeah. the movie, yeah. I think, for the most part, you look, Mary J. Blige, she got 2 nominations.
Awesome.
She could be doing that shitty dance all over the stage.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling, you know, Laurie Metcalf will probably win there.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see in that category, in the supporting role.
I hope
although
she gets-
Allison Janney and I, Tonya, mm-hmm. was also... The one thing that I really loved about Itani was Allison Janney specifically.
But yeah, I mean, I also think that they seemed to be, I don't know. I think the Oscars are surprisingly bad when you look back 5 years on or 10 years on. They're surprisingly bad at like singling out the movies that actually are memorable from mm-hmm. that year.
Mm-hmm.
Like most of the time they either get it wrong or, you know, give the actual award to the wrong movie. But I do think, I mean, Get Out is probably going to be the movie that everybody remembers this year by.
In terms of most memorable, I would, and like most controversial, it's like Get Out, Mother, I, Tonya.
Did Mother get nominated?
I don't think it did.
Yeah, because I know it got nominated for multiple Razzies, but it definitely did not get the Oscar nods. Did you see Mother?
I didn't. I had a lot of very good friends tell me it was bad, and then had a lot of very good friends tell me it was good. So
yeah,
I'm just
I think
wait
that
so
was
see
is like the Rorschach test of yeah. like movies, where it's mm-hmm. like, what do you see here? Like because it, I think it all depends on who the person is. Like there are people who are like, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen, and yeah. other people are like, I don't know what I just watched.
I will say from like an outside perspective, like a lot of the opinion that I heard was people saw the movie and then they're like, you know what? I didn't like it. And then later someone told me it was an allegory for the Bible and then I liked it. And I was just like, really? The most, the story that's been told the most times?
I didn't like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but then somebody explained to me. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The Best Picture category doesn't really have a front runner at this point. Like, nobody really... I would think Get Out would be the front runner. I've been saying
this to me personally.
I've been saying since a while back that it should be like sort of the front runner, and now it seems like that's kind of becoming a consensus that it is at least one of the front runners.
What else got nominated for that? Lady Bird, I guess.
Call Me by Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, and 3 Billboards.
Ooh. Right.
Wow. How did 3 Billboards get in there?
There's a lot of heat around it. Now I have to watch it. So
yeah,
because every people, I have people talking to me on Twitter
I wanted
about
to like it.
You wanted to like it.
I really wanted to like it. And I watched the movie, and then immediately after watching the movie, I was like, that was okay. And then a day went by, and I was like, that was not good. And then another day went by, and I was like, that was bad. And then another day went by, and I was like, that was really bad.
Now, was it to you that it was like, the message was off, or you just don't think it was a good movie? Because like we had Jake Wiseman in here who was like, "Fuck
right.
this movie forever." Blah blah blah. I was like,
"We've already dedicated an entire episode to talking about how shitty 3 Billboards."
Yeah, I guess so we don't have.
I guess we'll just do a
it.
Quick answer. Did you think it was it's problematic, or it just wasn't a good film?
I just feel like if you could like map the movie out like in shapes of the story, like there were like tectonic plates. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, the sum of these parts do not make a whole. At all.
Got
like,
you.
Yeah.
A cohesive whole, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
The Shape of Water, though, I'm surprised. I think they got the most nominations.
Did
with
they?
13, I think.
Yeah.
So.
And you guys both saw that and liked it?
Yeah. I thought it was weird.
I liked it.
I liked it.
I didn't love it, but I did like it a lot. It was definitely an achievement. I think it was a very green movie.
Yeah.
My eyes got tired of seeing so much green.
Oh, really? Yeah. Just as a color, it was very green?
You're telling me, man. I'm counting these checks. I feel the same way. no, I'm very broke. Please Venmo me.
Yeah, we were talking about the love scene.
Oh, my God.
In the movie.
I'll tell you
how,
this,
what a horny movie.
Now, this is spoiler alert right now for people who think they're going to see The Shape of Water. Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. Shut your ears off. But okay, so this woman,
the creature is circumcised. It's crazy.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know.
What we're saying today is that, like, the big question throughout is like, well,
what's the creature's penis look
what's
like?
What's the creature's dick gonna
what's
be like?
What's the creature
like?
D look
and,
like?
Brody was saying that it would be hilarious if it just like panned down and he had just like a perfect circumcised human cock. Just like a beautiful, like,
this
soft
is like the
Dirk
Diggler.
Well, yeah, because in the movie, like, it's funny because, like, who is it? Octavia Spencer is like her coworker. She's like, what? What's so funny is like how she glosses over the fact that she has sex with a fucking creature. I was like,
yeah,
what happened? Mm-hmm. Girl, give me the tea.
Right.
She's like, what the dick look like? The woman just sort of pantomimes this very weird thing of like doors opening,
just like a fortune cookie,
yeah,
opening up.
And then like a thing flopping out. Yeah, like a gate, a drawbridge from a castle. So again,
so
I think
just
that's
like
the biggest
a human cock, right? That's how all of our dicks work, right?
Hey, look, like I said, that's a very loaded question.
Yeah, some tells me it's sticky too. I just
right. I mean, like, when you look at the animal kingdom and the just enormous variety of penises, like, birds don't even have penises, fish don't have penises.
Ducks have crazy penises.
Ducks have, like, lasso penises.
Yeah, they have, like just, corkscrew, have, like, curly fries.
Weird. Yeah. Pigs have corkscrews. That is the big question.
And welcome to our new podcast, Three Guys Talking About Creature Dicks.
Animal dicks.
All right. Who else do we like?
Tangent into Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, because that was also nominated. It was a good movie. We'll see how it does. I thought it was a great depiction of this relationship. I don't know if like as a film I was like, whoa, like that really did something.
I'm sure it's a great movie. I fell asleep. I'm so sorry. So sorry to everyone.
Was it just too slow moving for you?
It was just, I was just like, I just didn't, like, you know, the whole, like, villa and, like, oh, they're looking at statues and they're wearing shorts. Like, I didn't relate to it and then I fell asleep.
You didn't relate to the shorts?
I'm gonna guess through the whole thing, I swear.
Right. Yeah, I think you described it as white people wearing shorts.
Yeah, I did.
Looking at statues earlier.
I mean, that's kind of how I describe it.
I'm sold. Well, yeah, that's mostly what I look for in a movie.
But yeah, like, if you think about it in the director category, I think it's pretty solid. Greta Gerwig got in there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Guillermo del Toro, Paul Thomas Anderson, Jordan Peele.
She's like the fourth or fifth.
Fifth woman.
Woman ever to be
ever.
Nominated.
Oh,
holy
my gosh.
Shit.
She's always.
What the fuck? Yeah, and Phantom Thread, which was one of my favorite movies of the year, but like wasn't really getting that much Oscar buzz, actually did pretty well. It got in there for Best Picture. Obviously, Daniel Day-Lewis.
I really like the nominations this year. They really,
I thought they did a good job.
Yeah, they really crushed it.
So when you look back, though, Jack, you were saying like other times when you look back 5 years, people were like
so
Crash,
this,
right? That's the first one I think of. Like
that's when
history
they had
will not
that new voting system that was kind of just like, you know, we're just like, you know, everyone just picks their like top five, and then, you know, number five for everybody is Crash, and then that becomes Best Picture.
Oh, really? That was the first year of a system?
Yeah.
So the system that I have always proposed is that you wait either 5 or 10 years to give out the award so that you actually can, like, for instance, the example I always like to point to is Platoon won, like, everything at the Academy Awards the year it came out. Platoon came out the same year as Full Metal Jacket, which got nominated for a single Academy Award.
Wow.
And Full Metal Jacket, like 10 years on, was this classic that everybody watched and like had memorized lines from, and like Platoon had just kind of faded away. People weren't really even like, that wasn't even the Oliver Stone movie that most people like talked about from that period. So yeah, I wanted to take a look back, as I like to do every year around the Academy Awards, at 5 years ago and 10 years ago and what won and, you know, what should have won. So 2013, the big winner was Argo, which just is okay. It's like a solid movie. That was the year Django came out, Lincoln came out, Pitch Perfect, which I would ride for as like a dark horse nominee, Magic Mike.
When did Paddington 1 come out?
That was only a couple years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, you're moving too fast. Zero Dark Thirty was like widely nominated, and I feel like that's a movie that in retrospect is pretty problematic. Like a lot of the stuff that they suggest works, it, like, has been proven not to work when it comes to
Oh, torture. And enhanced interrogation technique?
Yeah. That was back when we still thought that was cool. Beast of the Southern Wild, Moonrise Kingdom, I feel like, you know, it got some nominees, but that movie holds
up. I mean,
up.
John Carter.
Right. Mm-hmm. John Carter is still a classic.
Yeah.
All this was 2013?
Yeah, all 2013, wow. And Argo was the winner.
Wow. If Argo was a person, I would trip it if I saw her walking on the sidewalk.
Life of Pi, Miles, you were saying you still like that movie?
I mean, I feel like I like to watch it. It's visually really cool. I feel like, you know, I'm going to be straight up honest with you. Mm-hmm. I've only either seen the first 40 minutes or the last 40 minutes of it because it's on TV wow. so much. And I'm always like, I always think like I've
so
seen
you,
the
you
other
you only
parts.
Got like a slice of pie.
Ooh, definitely not the life. Yes. So, but yeah, I feel like that's a movie that, history has been kind to as the years have
yeah,
gone on.
Yeah, it has. Good movie.
Yeah, I hated it at the time, so I can't speak about that movie. I didn't like the twist, I think.
There was a twist? See, look at it. Maybe yeah, that's why I like
it. There was a
twist.
but yeah, so the movies that like sort of dominated all the conversation around the Academy Awards that year were Argo, Silver Linings Playbook. Mm. But yeah, like Lincoln, I thought was great from that year. I think it was nominated in a couple places, but it didn't win other than Daniel Day-Lewis's performance. Django seems to be like a pretty classic movie at this point. Flight, I think, holds up really well. So yeah, that's 5 years ago. Now, if you go 10 years back to the 2008 Academy Awards, they kind of nailed it. It was the year that There Will Be Blood and No Country for Old Men both came out, and those movies are both really... I think they're good movies. Super producer Anna Hosnier on her podcast has suggested that they're just the same movie because they're like long titles about like white people being super serious. But those movies did really well and I think have held up. But if you go back the year after that, it is a fucking mess. It's the year that Slumdog Millionaire like swept. And you know, Slumdog Millionaire, depending on who you are, some people mm-hmm. like that movie a lot, I think.
I'd only seen it when it came out, and I was like, oh, this is... It was like a film that you watched, and it was like a fun movie-watching experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Slumdog Millionaire won Best Picture, won Best Director for Danny Boyle, Best Actor was Sean Penn in Milk. So this is the year that Dark Knight came out. Heath Ledger won... because it was posthumous. And
best dead guy.
Right, best dead guy award. But you got to think that at least Dark Knight should have been nominated. It wasn't even nominated. Christopher Nolan wasn't nominated for best director. That's like one of the most influential movies of, you know, the past 10 years.
Yeah, I think the awards are, they're still too hoity-toity. They don't recognize genre films as being like culturally relevant. Which
is probably why Tiffany Haddish got snubbed.
Yeah, seriously. Tiffany Haddish got snubbed. Also, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle got snubbed.
Yeah.
I guess we have to look at it, right? Do we just then need to redefine what an Oscar is worthy of? Like mm-hmm. you're saying with genre things, right? Because clearly, I'm sure the people thought, oh, The Dark Knight's just like a blockbuster action film. But clearly, like, the way Christopher Nolan directed it with his, like, he's like, yo, I don't fuck with anything CG. Mm-hmm. Like, we're doing everything in camera. Like a true filmmaker, like, really trying to push shit. I feel like that is clearly worth something, which is probably why Dunkirk this year was nominated, because they're like, I think he probably this
so
deserves it.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if just rejiggering the like makeup of the Academy, because they did that a couple years ago after the Oscar So White campaign. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that just like fixed it, because I do think that they kind of nailed it this year with the nominees. Yeah. I just wonder if it was the problem wasn't that, you know, we needed to wait 10 years. It was just that. It was all these old white dudes who were just like, you know.
We still have the same problem with our critic community, you know.
It's, right.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like that bleeds into how like a lot of people perceive these movies.
Yeah.
And I think that we do need to, in the same way, rejigger what is going on with just like the categories themselves. Like we still don't recognize comedy and suspense the way that we could. And now I'm thinking about it, it would be cool to have just like most fun movie category.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That'd be sick. Saban's Power Rangers should get a nom.
Yeah. I think they should like go more like best stunt, best like joke, best.
So that sounds like the MTV Movie Awards had it right.
The MTV Movie Awards had a couple things
they
right.
Always
we don't
have
to go like all the way like to the. the direction they went. And also, they were, like, wildly sponsored by, it was like, best movie with Sprite product placement in it. It seemed like there
Did they have that?
I don't know. They didn't, but seemed like there was just, like, a big corporate presence in a lot of the time by the end. But, like, yeah, the idea of, like, best kiss, which I don't, that's stupid, I think. But, yeah, like, if you had, like, the best, I don't know, like, best scene, that would be fucking dope.
Right.
If you just, like, were calling out great scenes in movies and, like, things that you could actually watch.
Jack,
during
you
the...
are gonna. Your mind's gonna be blown because if that? You look at the MTV Movie Awards in 2009, best movie, The Dark Knight gets nominated. But you know who won? Twilight. So fuck out of here with that one.
Seriously.
But also best villain, Heath Ledger wins. And let's see, I think there was best fight. There is one. The Dark Knight got nominated too.
I would also say I haven't even talked about the fact that Wall-E came out that year, and I think that would be my nominee.
How did you pronounce
that? Wall-E.
Oh. It's not Wally? No, it sounded like, because I have a friend named Waleed,
wow,
and it sounded like Waleed, and I was like, whoa, shit, okay.
Wall-E? Duh. Is that's not how you pronounce it?
I don't know, look. I Waleed?
Pronounce it in his own dialect. Which
I think
Wally.
Wally. I think it's because I think I'm pronouncing it that way because the E is capitalized, and I'm just like,
you
Wall-E.
respect the linguistic aspect of it. Yes.
It's like I'm being texted that title. But I think that and Dark Knight would be top two like movies that hold up, like some of the best. And I don't think Slumdog
is there an animation. There's only animated short, right? Is that
no? There's best animated movie because Boss Baby's nominated this year.
Wait, so was there one when Wall-E came out?
Yeah, and it won that, but it didn't. It wasn't nominated for Best Picture.
Okay. Oh, right. Because it's true that people.
I think it's easier. I think more comedies would be nominated if we had some distance from it, because comedies like sometimes hold up.
Yeah.
Like that's like what people remember from the year is like there was a great comedy that year.
And like you're saying, I think we just need to rethink what it means to win an Oscar. Is before it's like this is the best, most serious shit only wins an
right.
Oscar.
Yeah. Right.
When it can't be like, yo, that was actually just a great movie. That were like, that was a great performance, or that was great filmmaking.
Right.
You know, rather than like, well, what is the thing that like really, you know, made me rethink?
Because I don't think any filmmakers or actors or performers are like, yeah, no, comedies are too easy. That's why we don't nominate.
Right.
Like comedy's
hard.
Super
comedy's harder than
hard.
Drama.
Right. Because but The Big Sick, it got snubbed for Best Picture.
Right.
I don't know if it got snubbed. I mean, I think the screenplay was good.
And it got nominated for Best Original Screenplay. So Best Original Screenplay is always the category I pay most attention to because they always
it's
like,
about that art.
Yeah, and they always like give the like my favorite movie from the year that award, like or at least when I was growing up, they did.
Yeah, Big Sick, Get Out, Lady Bird, Shape of Water, and Three Billboards for Best Original Screenplay.
I mean, if Get Out doesn't win Best Original
they should
Screenplay.
Nominated that for Best Rough Draft.
Which one?
Three Billboards.
Best Rough Draft.
Best Rough Draft. It did seem somewhat not thought through.
God, I got to see this now.
Yeah. It's worth watching.
And also, you know, shout out to Kobe Bryant, because Kobe Bryant apparently got
we will be editing that out. And
just bleep it out, like I said, a curse word, like a really fucked up thing.
Yeah, we just have so many Kobe fans on our staff that
you can't handle it.
There's like pages of notes about this short film that Kobe Bryant made based on this like whack poem he wrote about like retiring, where it's like, dear basketball.
It's a pretty whack poem.
I loved you. And it's like, we're going to give him credit for writing a poem just because he's a good athlete.
He's not going to win.
All right. We got to take a quick break, guys, but we will be right back. And we're back, and I want to talk about something real quickly that I've talked about before, Super Producer Anna Hosnier brought up during the break. The acting awards are fucking crazy, like, that they have gotten wrong. So the year that Scent of a Woman came out, 92, was the same year that Malcolm X came out, and Denzel got passed over for Al Pacino's performance as a blind guy from New York who for some reason spoke with a Cajun accent and always screamed, even though he wasn't hearing impaired. He just could not see. And he could also tell people's names by smelling them. by smelling their perfume.
Really? Like, yeah, that was happened. His gift?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, yeah. You are Rebecca.
Let me guess. Your name's Stacy.
Is that where the movie
always
goes
Stacy? If it's, yeah, wow. No, for real. And, that movie's ridiculous. Not only did that, like, they didn't give it to the right performance, but it also like ruined Al Pacino's career because from that point forward, that's just how he talked in all his movies because
Right.
It was the first time he got the Academy Award.
And he's like, oh shit, I'm on
now,
something.
The
you guys
reason
want to hear my impression
was
of Al Pacino ordering a drink?
Yes.
Kahlua!
No. Now, the reason
now that's acting, but
the reason that that was his first Academy Award is because the year that Godfather 2 came out, also the same year that Chinatown came out, neither of them won, and Art Carney won for Travels with Charlie or some shit that nobody's ever heard of. So they always just get shit wrong. But all right, let's move on from the Academy Awards. We had an interesting piece of information about what actually went down during that Hawaii missile warning an entire state thought they were going to die for 38 minutes. By the way, I think I said that it would only take 5 minutes for a missile to get from North Korea to Hawaii. That was wrong. It would be, I don't know, longer than that.
quick cocktail napkin math.
The estimate was actually how long it would take from one of North Korea's nuclear submarines to launch a missile that would hit Hawaii, which is what people think they would actually do if they were going to launch it.
Versus land-based.
Right.
Because you don't know where it's coming from.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So, Miles, what was actually going down during that moment where
I guess,
everybody thought they were going
to it's one of those things, right? They had everybody panicked, justifiably, because it was basically like, you know, head for cover, missile strike imminent or whatever. Mm. And the governor found out, David Ige of Hawaii, he found out like 2 minutes after, like, obviously it was a mistake, it's a false alarm. And he's like, oh shit, I better tweet that out. And like a lot of other people who were in the government, like our local government in Hawaii, tweeted out, okay, that was a mistake, it was an error. It took him about, I think, 17 minutes before the governor was able to tweet because he forgot his damn Twitter password.
Stupid fool, come on.
So he was like, oh shit, he says, quote, I have to confess that I don't know my Twitter account logons and the passwords, so certainly that's one of the changes that I've made. Shit.
Wow. I wrote it down on my right here.
Yeah.
And he showed it to
damn
the
it. Yeah, so yeah, it's
just
it's one of those things.
Old man move.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, he should put all his passwords in an Evernote just like I do.
Yeah, there you go. Or like, I don't know, if you have a browser, like many browsers have the save password function, unless he's one of these like.
No, just get you one password. Have you guys used that app?
No.
One password is a great app. Y'all should use that.
What is it?
It's just like one place where you can store all your passwords.
Reference?
Yeah. It's like it's pretty secure, but like you just need a app where you can store all of them. That changed my life because I fucking
use promo code password 123.
Yeah, exactly.
Download.
But yeah, any app will do, but you just want to make sure it's somewhat secure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. This is just like such a perfect, like, you know, this is why we need to move on from that generation. it's just like they just haven't figured technology out.
Yeah, baby boomers with Twitter is not it's not a good combo.
So speaking of past generations, Bill Cosby decided to drop in on some people at a jazz bar, and they were like, "Oh, we're so lucky! what a great surprise!"
It's like the second worst way you could get surprised by Bill Cosby,
right? So he apparently did a extended riff on how he's blind now, trying to reshape his image as that blind guy, as opposed to that guy who drugged and assaulted all those women. And one of his bits was to have a child come up on stage with him for like one of those kids say the darndest things.
Oh my God. Irresponsible parent.
And he was like, do you know who I am? And the kid was like, yes. He was like, who am I and what do I do? And he was like, you used to be a comedian.
Now you're a fucking sex crimp.
Right, yeah. And he was like, all right, get off the stage, kid. So I don't know. That's pretty
Fuck Bill Cosby.
Yeah, it sounds like also too, like the if they said that people were laughing or receptive to it, but they also know it was probably a lot of his friends and like sycophantic, mm-hmm. like, you know, followers who were like there to be like, yeah
they were all wearing velvet robes. They didn't put that in the thing, but they were all a coat, Bill Cosby.
He also asked a reporter, he was eating pasta after his set, and a reporter was there, and he shook the reporter's hand and said, please don't put me on Me Too, because he has a very clearly nuanced understanding of the Me Too movement,
don't
apparently.
Put me on yeah. Me Too.
That's the way, like, an old person does reference, like, something that's going
don't,
on.
Don't
with
put
the
me
young
on
people.
Me Too.
He probably thinks it's
what
an
does
app.
He think it a list?
Yeah.
Is Me Too a list?
For sure he thinks it's
don't
a list.
Don't put me on Me Too.
Oh, no, I'm on Me Too.
I bet he's faking the blind shit, too.
Oh, for yeah. sure. Yeah, definitely a fake
he's
blind
he's wearing
guy.
Contacts.
Oh, to make it look like his eyes are, like, glossed over or something.
Yeah, I'm innocent. I can't even see. Justice is blind, you fuck. I looked up to you. I trusted you.
People, that's a weird thread that we've seen running throughout tabloids is theories that Stevie Wonder is not really blind.
Oh, come on.
Is faking it.
Yeah.
We've seen multiple.
Even if he was faking it, he's been faking it for so long, we should just give
hats
him a pass.
Hats off to you.
Or just be like, God damn, man. Like, man. You didn't have to do all that.
Yeah, that
like,
guy's
you were talented
so...
enough.
Right. He's like one of the most talented musicians, and he thinks he has to, like,
he's like,
fake.
Fuck, man. I need another layer.
My parents actually, my dad and my aunt used to, like, they grew up with Stevie Wonder, sort of. Like, they used to, like, play with him when they were kids. Mm-hmm. And he was, like, I think he was blind from, like, a very young age or something like that. I think he was blind
his whole life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, not all of it. Like, he's still, like, yeah, he went blind when he was, like, a kid. So he, knows what, like, colors and
right.
shapes are.
Right.
Is that condescending? But
no. That's a whole thing. Italy is apparently a really bad place to live if you're blind because your neighbors will not believe you're blind and will keep trying to, like, trick
oh, yeah,
you
wait, what
into
is that?
Proving. That's like we interviewed this blind person from Italy back when I worked at Cracked, and they were like, yeah, my neighbors, like, were constantly, like, putting things in front of me to see if I, like, wouldn't trip over them because they thought I wasn't really blind.
What?
And then, like, the government of Italy stopped giving him like, benefits because they, like, also didn't believe blind people when they said they were blind.
Oh, my God.
Very strange.
I mean, it is the easiest one to fake.
Right. Yeah. I've always said that. And finally, before we go, we wanted to just mention the Apple conspiracy theory that we talked about yesterday. We got a little bit of pushback from a couple fans. And, you know, I did think we couched it as this is like a conspiracy theory based on our own personal experience. But there was also an article that we were pointing to that suggested that
What was the theory?
It's just that all of our phones, like, died due to updates mm-hmm. to, like, updating to the most recent iOS because we had, like, iPhones 6s and 7s.
Straight up died?
Yeah, like, died or stopped working.
Or like, just became, like, completely, like, just bogged down, like, very slow. And,
okay.
Yeah.
And they did admit to the slowing down thing.
Right. So people who are Apple stans or, you know, whatever, or just, you know, more aware of what's going on with yeah. Apple, were saying that we were misinformed. They were like, you could have just taken it to a Genius Bar and they would have replaced your battery and everything would have been fine. So that could be true. We're doing more research on that.
They're apologizing. As a guest, I say, shut up.
But yeah, I also, there's a Economist article today that's about how, you know, fucked America is because Google, Facebook, and Amazon are, you know, taking over and mm-hmm. are these huge monopolies and, you know, are making competition with them impossible by buying out all competitors. And usually those three are lumped in with Apple in Europe. Europe calls them GAFA and says, like, this is, like, a huge problem, this cabal of, like, mm-hmm. you know, huge, powerful companies. And The Economist was making the argument that, like, the Apple hate is kind of overstated because they're just a company that makes products that people really like. And the second that their products become worse than other people's products, people can stop buying them. Whereas these other companies, like, have lots and lots of ways that they're sort of getting their you know, manipulating their users and sort of fucking over the competition. So.
All right, well, you know, shout out to the Zeit Gang for trying to keep us honest.
Yeah, shout out to capitalism. You're doing great. Late stage, we're still with you. You're doing a great job.
Late stage. Crushing it. Oh, like, because right now, isn't Bank of America charging people, like, to check their bank account if it's, like, below a certain amount and shit? It's, like, ridiculous.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Brody, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at AYOBROBRO, AYOBROBRO. I am putting out, like, shorts and stuff all the time, so I'll, like, tweet those out. And, yeah, I'm doing shows around Los Angeles and blah, blah, blah. You can check me out. And that's it.
People should do that. He is hilarious.
Thanks.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Bray.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can follow us, the Daily Zeitgeist, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram, at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We have a Facebook fan page. Just search our show's name. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Off to all of the articles that we used as sources for the stuff we talked about today. That is going to do it for today. Any musical recommendations?
Yeah, you know what? Let's give people like a little vibe, a vibe recommendation.
That's okay. a vibe.
It's a vibe. You know, this is a band I heard over the weekend called Kruongin.
Oh, yeah.
They're like a Thai funk, soul, surf, rock band. They're just a
Thai funk, soul, surf.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know I did either. But they're just a really dope trio from Texas. And this is a track called Friday Morning. It's just like a good, it's a good vibe. Mm. When you're sleeping with that AK-47 pillow. Not an actual Kalashnikov rifle, but you know, a bag of weed.
A bag of weed.
Sorry, let me clarify. Giant bag of weed.
Is that what AK... I didn't
AK-47, yes.
Follow me on Twitter if you want to see pictures of that.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.